It is a Monday, 22 degrees. It's also Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And, hey, we're a half a minute ahead of schedule. We got Dr. Jason Cans on the line from jasoncans.com in his home in Eau Claire. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is Martin Luther King Day, and I've got a clip from the I Have a Dream speech. Let's give this a listen, and then we'll comment and go from there.
We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny.
So Martin Luther King Jr. on this Martin Luther King Day. That incredible, courageous message of nonviolence, right? Against violence. So
Yeah, absolutely. I was really struck by a phrase in there where he said, we must meet physical force with soul force. And thinking about, okay, what does that look like for us as believers to meet what we see as injustice in the world? Not by physical violence, not by physical acting out, but what is this soul force he's talking about? And I think I've been reminded just in this past week about the importance of prayer and how it often feels powerless to me, but it's maybe the most powerful thing we can do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is. We wrestle with sense in which we feel like we've gone to the well and it's come up dry. And so, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a certain sense of, is it going to make any difference?
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, you actually wrote a beautiful prayer. I want you to share with us momentarily. But again, I've had this stirring in me and I haven't done it. I've got right in front of me Philip Yancey's book, Soul Survivor, How My Faith Survived the Church. And as much or more than anything, what he means is, how my faith survived growing up in a racist church in the South. And chapter one is actually recovering from church abuse. And when people talk about spiritual abuse, a lot of times they maybe don't mean that my church was racist. But again, it's this idea that probably certainly in our current time, we can't run from that. It may be the church, but that doesn't mean that means you still need to question. I mean, Paul commends them. He said, well, Luke in Acts 17, he says, be noble-minded like the Bereans who daily searched the scriptures to see if the things that were being taught were true, right? And they were testing.
Absolutely.
They were testing the great apostle Paul. So whoever your pastor is, man or woman, it doesn't matter, young or old, tall or short. I mean, the bottom line is test these. We're told to test these things. And
right.
And for Yancey, this amazing story, his brother, as I understand it, left the church and left the faith. And Yancey somehow survived, and that's the point of the book, is Soul Survivor. And chapters are about these individuals who helped his faith survive, starting with Martin Luther King Jr. And it's a beautiful chapter. It's chapter two. And on he goes to many others, Dostoevsky and others who helped his faith to survive. So.
Yeah, I'm just about finished with Dostoevsky's book, The Idiot, and it's magnificent. You know, I don't know if you gave me Soul Survivor or if I picked it up on my own. But
I think I gave it to you. Yeah, I think
you did. Okay. And I haven't read it yet, and that your encouragement there might be a good reason to pick that one up soon.
Even this today or this week, read chapters 1 and 2, and you'll be glad you did. So, all right, you had a beautiful prayer yesterday. Give me just a little bit of a background and then share it with us.
Yeah, so I wrote this, I think, sometime last year. And, you know, I talk a lot about things like wholeness and integration, and I've been trying to write out my prayers some. And just, I think, in all of the chaos and unrest, I decided to put these words out. And so what I wrote is, where there is darkness, let me bring light. Where bondage, freedom. Where deception, truth. Where vileness, beauty. Where evil, goodness, where weakness, strength, where hatred, love, where disunion, integration, where fragmentation, wholeness, where division, reconciliation, and where rupture, shalom, always remembering who you already say that I am.
Hmm, so beautiful.
And, yeah, my friend Maureen had said, you know, it seems like an update to the prayer of St. Francis. And I said, I think that's spot on. You know, I think that that I love that prayer. So, you know, and for me, it's just a good reminder of who do I want to be in the world.
Right. Well, I'm going to post it right now on the Wib Wake Up. I posted it on my own page. I posted it on the Wib Wake Up Show page so people on Facebook so people can check it and access it. A lot of people have been sharing. It's so good. I thought about like studying the words and digging in. It's so good. So, all right. Well, you got your reading homework, Mr. Soul Survivor, chapters 1 and 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow. All right. 7:12, WWIB. It's Martin Luther King Day today. And this is just a taste of the close of his I Have a Dream speech from August 28th, 1963.
This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning. My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Martin Luther King Jr. from his most famous speech, the I Have a Dream speech, August 28th of 63 at the Capitol. Today, as has been the case for many years now, an MLK remembrance celebration going on in the Chippewa Valley. Today, though, it's going to be different. I talked with Dr. Salika Duxworth-Lawton, the president of Uniting Bridges, and also a history professor at UW Eau Claire, about how this year's program is going to differ from past years. I've been to a number of the events that we've had from both the university to coming to St. James Catholic Church, and now it's going to be different this year. I mean, you must like marathons because like an 8.5-hour virtual deal. Tell us about the unique aspects of this year's MLK Remembrance.
We have the live panels, which are unique this year, especially Josh Call, who is our Wisconsin AG, will be on the First Amendment Race and Civility panel. And this really gives people in the Chippewa Valley who register through Paragon a chance to ask questions of one of our elected officials. So I think that's very important. The head of the Wisconsin NAACP is giving us a taped message and is talking about how all of these groups can work together, but also how false information and false accusation, which is something we really have had to deal with, hurts us all, and especially hurts Black Americans.
So again, at the WIB Facebook page, we've got information posted yesterday on the program. You can click on that, and when you do, you'll have a link where you can register for taking this in today in various opportunities and means. I know in the Uniting Bridges, they'll have a Facebook Live event, but also through Paragon. And so you can register to take part. It's a full 8.5 hour program. I mean, the welcome and the reading of the letter from the Birmingham jail, very famous from the pen of MLK himself, gets going at noon. A discussion of anti-Semitism and racism at 1. A live panel on race and religion at 2. The First Amendment discussion, as she mentioned, at 3:45, all the way until the We're Still Dreaming, which is closing out with music and some readings at 7 o'clock tonight. So come when you can, leave when you must. Also, just to alert you, at the Pablo Center website, Dr. Duxworth Lawton has been asked to be a part of the curation of this Black Lives Matter Silence Equals Violence art exhibit, so you can learn more there, as she told us yesterday in the Chippewa Valley this week, talking about looking at the humanity of both sides of this difficult and painful part of our past, and even, unfortunately, part of our present as well. Well, another weekend passes us by, and certainly a highlight for me, the Packers' victory at Lambeau over the Rams. I mean, there's nothing like playoff football. We're both big football fans, and I don't know, at least 10 times as much as a regular season game, right? Because Major League Baseball is 162 games, the NFL 16, so every game in the regular season is worth 10. This is 10 times a regular season
game. Well, yeah,
game.
When it's one and done, yeah. Win or go home, yeah, there's a lot of anticipation for that, and it was a great game.
But elsewhere along the way, I don't know, it seemed like Saturday made and enjoyed some delicious taco soup, and there's always leftovers, and so that was good for lunch yesterday as well. Tracking along with some favorite shows just a little bit, maybe not so much over the weekend, including Designated Survivor, and interviewed Dr. Salika Duxworth Lawton, who's going to be a part of the annual Martin Luther King Remembrance in the Chippewa Valley. This was our Chippewa Valley this week, yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour, and an 8.5 hour remembrance with panels. So it's going virtual and it's going much longer and deeper. Again, we've got a link at our WIB Facebook page if you want to learn more how you can register.
Well, I tried to be productive on Saturday morning, knowing that a good portion of the afternoon and evening would be spent watching said Packers game, and then the Bills game that evening as well. Enjoyed that. And so Saturday morning, thank you, Chippewa Falls, for having a Christmas tree drop-off site that is like 4 minutes from my house, and it's really easy to get to. And
nice.
So, yeah, it's always a little melancholy to take down the Christmas tree, but Lindsay said, hey, we need to get it done. So I hauled that and got rid of it, and then when I got home, I realized it's not that cold out, Swenson, and you still have Christmas lights up. Maybe you should tackle that today instead of waiting till mid-February. So I got all of the Christmas lights down and packed away, and that was the Saturday morning activities, ran some errands, then enjoyed the Packers game. And then on Sunday, I have to say the absolute highlight on Sunday was grandparents and parents and kids all going sledding at Moon Lake Park in Rice Lake. I hadn't been sledding for quite a while. I don't know if I just didn't go at all last year or what, but again, just seeing the kids with those rosy red cheeks and tired and just going down the hill again and again and again, and going down myself and remembering just a little bit of that childlike nostalgia. So that was my weekend and a highlight to end it for sure.
Is that the number one hill in Rice Lake, the number one sledding hill?
I think so. Cameron has a good one too at their old football field, but we decided to go to, again, this newly formed hill at Moon Lake Park, where when they were creating all the walking paths, they piled up a whole bunch of dirt, grass grew on it, and now it's you have your choice of steep and dangerous or long and sloping. So trying to start your week off on the right note here on the WIB Wake Up Show. It's a Make Us Laugh Monday. We'd love your jokes at 715-396-1670 to get that rolling. To encourage you, we're going to set the bar really low right here, right now.
I love doing this. I love this as the 745 fixture. And the challenge, I don't know about you, Caleb, the challenge is every week trying to gather them like acorns the rest of the week. So here we go. Caleb, what kind of doctor is Dr. Pepper?
I don't know.
Physician.
How about this one? Did you know, Mark, that on average people want 3 covers on the bed at all times?
No.
But that's just a blanket statement.
There you go. You know, being a little older, I'm the older member of the show. I'm very fortunate to have someone call and check on me just about every day. Yeah, he's from India, and he's very concerned about my car warranty.
I like that one. Why are professional athletes always heavier than prisoners?
Offensive linemen?
Because the pros outweigh the cons.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, I accidentally changed my GPS voice to male. Now it just says, keep driving. It's around here somewhere.
There you go. And finally, a reminder, I have one more. A reminder, no matter how much you push the envelope, Halvo, it will still remain stationary.
Okay. That's good. I like it. Hey, I hate it when people act all intellectual and talk about Mozart when they've never even seen one of his paintings.
All right. And one more for me. Havel, a little history for you. Do you know which knight built King Arthur's round table?
No.
Circumference.
Good. Wow, you've had good material. This is my last one.
Right,
going
go
out here, one day when I was a kid, years ago, I put vinegar in my ears. And ended up with pickled herring.
Pickled herring.
Yes.
I get it. I like it. There we go. Those are your jokes of the week here on a Monday.
The bar
to make
is
us
set
laugh
low.
Monday. Yes. What's yours? Do better. You might hear it on the air. 715-396-1670. We'd love to hear some kiddos jokes this morning.
Well, joining us on the line on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day is Dennis Beal. He's from Eau Claire, a UW Eau Claire alum. And he actually is the owner and CEO at Power of Perception. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning. Can you all hear me okay?
We can hear you fine. Now, Mark and Caleb here with you on the WIB Wake Up Show. So start off, tell us a bit about yourself and about Power of Perception.
Where do I even start? So my name, obviously, is Dennis Beal. I'm the founder and the owner of the Power of Perception. I'm originally from Chicago, born and raised. Came to Eau Claire back in, 2009? And actually came there as a student. Coming from Chicago, came from a single-parent household, so I grew up in a struggle. Just learned a lot of different things along the way, but, you know, one of the things that I learned early on is that it takes a village to raise our youth. You know, and when I first got to Eau Claire, the village is what helped me get to where I am today. And then just looking at the resources that, you know, Eau Claire had at the time back in 2009, all the way up until now, you know, obviously the resources were very limited. So I just wanted to make sure that we had, you know, some type of representation. And there's a couple of things that I heard, you know, when I first got to Wisconsin was, one, come to Wisconsin on vacation and leave on probation. Hmm. And then also back in, 2016, I saw you had a lot more African-American males being incarcerated into prison than you had enrolling into college. And I just told myself that, you know, that was a little scary coming from where I come from. And I just said, you know, when I get into a leadership position or a position of power to make a change, I will make a change. And so that's what kind of really sparked my desire, my interest to start, you know, the Power of Perception. And then coming from Chicago, you know, obviously you got the statistics and, you know, different things, you know, from crime rates to, you know, the murder rates and different things like that. So, you know, my family was affected by that, you know, a couple of years ago, actually, my second to last year of grad school. And, you know, my uncle was hit by a stray bullet. He was paralyzed from the neck down. And then in September of 2019, he passed away from a fatal gunshot wound. Huh. And, you know, one of my things was for, you know, that situation was that, you know, what if I could have mentored the young man or the young lady that could have shot that gun? You know, my uncle would still be here today. So, you know, my biggest thing, you know, something that my mom always told me was that leave something better than what you found it. You know, and that's the biggest thing, you know, for me starting the Power of Perception. I'm looking to help our African-American and biracial youth in the greater Eau Claire community because it's less than 1% African-American. And then one of the things that I incorporated within my mentoring program is care packages. So once a month, we always give out care packages just to help the students, you know, to show them that we believe in them. You know, they always have something to look forward to. And then the poverty rate amongst the highest is African-American. So, you know, I'm trying to just do my due diligence, you know, to make our world a better place today. So.
Fantastic. Dennis, you talked about a village being needed and how a village here helped you when you were here as a student. Are there any particular individuals where you would say God put them in my life for a purpose to raise me up into the man I am today to then pour into other people's lives?
Yes, definitely. And I'll say it like this. It was definitely Todd Glazer. He was a head football coach at one given time at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, and he really inspired me. You know, he introduced me to my mentor when I first got there, and then I just watched him, you know, I'll be honest with you, as a Caucasian man, you know, want to, you know, help out diverse students from all walks of life. you know, and just looking at, you know, and that's the thing about it, he didn't want anything in return, you know, and that was one person that really, you know, he just really helped me out. He really opened his arms up to me. He really trusted in me. And like I said, you know, for me, coming from a single parent household, being raised by my mother, it's hard to trust a lot of men, you know, and so he was somebody who, you know, he came open arms, you know, but he also taught me a lot of great lessons, you know, and those lessons turned into blessings. And, you know, those are something that I'm very grateful for to this day.
So you're partnering with the Eau Claire Area School District. And again, as we wrap up this interview, males and females, grades 6 through 12, how many are already working with you?
Right now, we have about 25 students right now within the program. And we're finishing up actually a partnership with Royal Credit Union with their FUSE program. So actually tomorrow we're doing a final five of our students trying to build their own business from the ground up. So we got the last final five tomorrow. I'm excited. We got some celebrity judges. So, you know, I want to say thank you to the city again for all the support that you all are giving me all the way up to this point.
But you are working with, I think, male students at UW Eau Claire too, right?
So I have a couple students that are mentors from the university that we're working with.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We got a couple students, yes.
Well, Power of Perception is great, and we're thrilled to have you on here on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Dennis Beal. Appreciate it.
Thank you all so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Dennis, and God bless you. Power of Perception. You can look it up more online to find out more on how you can get involved.
WWIB, it's the WIB Wake Up Show here on a Monday, the 18th of January. And talking this morning about what item under $50 drastically improved your life. Now, think about that for a second, because there are several things here that people have identified, six or seven of them, right, Caleb?
Yeah, and first one, a meat thermometer. Uh-huh. This person says, no more guessing internal temps. Perfectly cooked food every time. Items under $50 that they said, yeah, that was a big impact on my life for the better.
Yeah, another one that people said, wireless earbuds. You'll wonder how you ever worked out or worked around the house with wires hanging from your face.
I don't have those. I still have the old school iPod. Listen to the radio on that thing. A coffee grinder. Items under $50 that drastically improved your life, according to folks on social media. A coffee grinder.
Yeah, you get the beans, and then you do the grinding, and then it's even fresher, right? Than just buying them already ground. An electric toothbrush. And the person here on the list says they can truly say it saved them money at the dentist. The thing is, I bought mine for like $20, and yet somehow, I don't know, charging it is the deal. You know, charging it, and somehow in the bathroom, I don't know, the cord got bent, or we had some kind of an event with it, and so I need to replace mine.
Two more from this survey of what item under $50 drastically improved your life. This person says a 10-foot USB extension cable for my phone. I guess while it's charging, maybe if you can't let it sit somewhere else for even a little bit.
Yeah, you need some distance. That's a deal. And then finally, an electric kettle. If you like hot tea or coffee pour-overs, it's a must-have.
I'm trying to think what might be in my life under $50 that really has made a drastic improvement. I will say this is what's made me feel more like a big boy or more like a real man. My wife, when I had the beard, got me for Christmas, and she said, this isn't pointed. She said, I bought this for you a long time ago. Uh-huh. But she got me a Philips Norelco razor. And here's the thing. If you ever saw my beard, you can see that I'm not very adept at growing facial hair. And so I just use the disposable razors all the time.
Okay.
Well, she got me this Philips Norelco razor with like the little spinny whirling blades and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I have to say,
those are nice.
Not only is it like the closest, smoothest shave, and I'm not being paid for this, it's like it sort of makes me feel more manly to have a real man shaver, even though I can't grow a beard like a real man. So that changed my life for the better. Thank you, honey.
I'm a shaving cream and razor guy, although I think Dawson, like you, uses the electric shaver. So
yeah. All right. There you go. Let us know on the listener line if you can think of something that wasn't on this list.